You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? I'm Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to The Movie Show.
What's up? You are listening to The Movie Show.
On Active FM.
With Sesh.
And Ryan.
And today we have a very interesting movie review for you.
I will tell you this. The director is Clint Eastwood.
Yes, the director is Clint Eastwood, which is one of the reasons I actually wanted to watch the film. Yeah. So how I stumbled upon this film, because it is a 2008 film, so it's really like whole 12 years ago. It's not a film that you're just like, oh yeah, I wanted to watch that movie. How I stumbled upon it was, I've mentioned before, I'm reading a book on script writing, and she will often make references to actual movies because she's trying to get a point across. And one of the movies she brought up was this movie. It is called Changeling. Yes. It's a very weird name.
I don't know how to pronounce it, by the way.
I think it's Changeling.
Yeah.
There is a, I will tell you the definition of the word a bit later, but that's how I actually came upon it. And then she was talking about it. She was talking about the storyline, the characters. And then I went to search it. And then I saw Angelina Jolie, Clint Eastwood. I was like, this looks brilliant. So that is why I chose to watch this film. I'm not disappointed that I watched it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a bit funny. I was actually going to ask you, you know, who told you to? Because the thing is this. Can I tell you what I'm battling with, right? Mm-hmm. Real life drama, okay? If you notice, the last two movies that I've picked, they've been okay.
No, Cold Pursuit was horrible, right? I'm saying that
they've
straight.
Been terrible. And then, movies come with this Sashi. Sashi comes with this movies, and it's like depth movie. So I was like, Sashi, tell us, where do you get these movies from? Okay, and there now she's given us the, her secrets. She's reading books. So movies, they come from books. Brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, I would like to say that this movie is not for the faint of heart. It really is an emotional ride. And when I say that, it's not a feel-good movie at all. So if you want to watch a movie where at the end you're like, this is not the movie to watch. This movie I've had for a long time, and I had to emotionally prepare myself to watch it because I knew it was not. I just wanted to check. So I did, before telling Ryan, can we do it? I did check about nudity. And any pornography. There's nothing in it. There is scenes. So there's two scenes where, so the one scene the mother is sent to a psychiatric ward, and it's actually torture. Torture. The way they do it. And then they do check her, they check for syphilis, but they don't show you, you don't see, it's not like, ah, type of thing. And then there's another scene where she looks at her son, who's not actually her son, and realizes he's circumcised, and her son wasn't circumcised, but they don't show you anything. So
you just sort of see the bottom of legs.
Yes. So it's not explicit in that way. What I mean by it's not a feel good movie is this movie, it takes you on such an emotional ride. And one of the reasons is because it's a true story. So when you see, there is a lot of sick things that happen. A lot of events where you're just like, how do people do that? Like, what is wrong with people? And the part that's sad is that it's a true story. Yeah. So if you're not ready for an emotional ride, don't watch this film.
Hey, 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 hey. Wake up. It's a very zero. Can you hear them? Listen, listen. Can you hear them? Yeah.
FM. Radio has never been better.
I've got two sons, and so the fact, but yeah, you know, this is what I'll say. The way that the movie was shot in it, it's shot really, really still good old school cinematography. And can I just say, they don't make movies the way they used to.
They really don't.
And when you do find the good movies, and you'll find that a lot of film making or film, you know, books, that they write on, they always write on the old movies.
Yeah.
Like Sashi she just said now, so these were one of the movies that were in one of her books. And I can obviously Clint Eastwood being the cinematographer, he's obviously, he's learned the good old way of making movies.
Yeah.
And it's not often you come across a director or a cinematographer who wants to shoot a movie and they want to shoot it and they want to do pans. Everything that they do within the film is on purpose. Busy adding on to the story or adding on to, you know, the storytelling. They're not just like, okay, the man's about to get arrested. Okay, cameras, just get him arrested. No, that guy's in the way. Can you try from here? Okay, cool. there's methods behind that they do it.
Yeah.
And that is the part of this movie that I really, really enjoyed. So also same. I mean, you're right. It's an emotional roller coaster. Like I can literally sit down and I can start, I can write, you know, every chapter and every issue was it. And like, the amount of different stories that's within this one story.
Yes. That's why she used this. She was talking about, so the author of the book was talking about your main storyline, which is known as your A storyline.
Which is the boy, right?
Yes, which is the boy's gone missing and now it's what's happened. But then you get your sub storylines or subplots, and your subplots are supposed to actually add to your main plot, but it brings in dimension. And they actually say most of the time people remember the subplots more than the main plot. So your subplots are very, very important. But the way they told the story was brilliant.
Like the court case.
Everything.
Different people.
Yes.
It wasn't just one person. It's like they started off, they're like, all right, the investigating officer, okay, chief of police, okay, let's get you out the way. Boom, there you go. Sort yourselves out. Then it was I do love the way that they handled the court case as well. Because I was like, oh, is this a court case movie?
Right.
And no, it wasn't.
It wasn't. It was just at the end. And what's also interesting is within the storyline, you have Christine Collins, who's played by Angelina Jolie, who's the mother. She is the main character throughout, and you follow her story. But
how
then
good was her acting?
Her acting was on another level.
I've never ever seen her like that.
No, her acting was crazy.
Like usually, and you know, she's like this really tough chick.
Yeah, no, she wasn't. I was like, do something. Don't just be
her
a pushover.
The way her body, I really felt sorry for this.
Yes.
This you know, this helpless, weak, you know, mother who's just trying to, you know, and the way she's been like pushed through the media and the cops and all that type of stuff. You know, she didn't, I don't know, it was really, really cool.
It was. But then there was another character, his name was Detective Lester, and he was the one that came upon the murders. So I'll explain the storyline now. But what they did was, that character was introduced. Obviously, Christine Collins was introduced, but those two characters only spoke in the last scene of the film. That is the only time those two characters actually intersected with one another. But before that, they might have been in the same room or the same police station, but there was never communication between the two of them. And yet the way they brought the story together, because usually it's like, do you understand? It needs to connect somehow. It needs to add up to the storyline. But the way they did that was brilliant. And you didn't know what was coming next. It wasn't predictable. Every scene was like, oh no, oh no, what's happening now? The storyline, the script was brilliant. The script really was on another level.
So are you the only one in your household that has watched this film?
Yes, I am.
Because I can imagine your mother's reaction in the first part so what happens? The boy goes missing.
Yes.
And then the police come forward to her work.
Yes.
And at first you're like, oh no, no, he's dead. Oh no. And then he rocks up and even starts talking. This is so-and-so. He's involved. I'm like, dude, just get to the point. I'm like, please, she just wants to know about her boy. And then he's like, We found him. He's alive. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. And I can imagine your mom's reaction. Oh, thank heavens. You know? And then, of course, then it continues. I'm like, no, wait. Because now you can tell they're putting certain emphasis on certain things. They're dragging, you know, this whole thing out. Usually it's like, I mean, cutaway. There he is, home in each other's arms. Yay. But there's just, you see, this is what I'm talking about. There's this method in the way the story's been told.
That keeps that you as the audience intact.
No, wait. Hang on. Something's wrong. Mm. Something's wrong. You know, and then, I mean, even like the police officers and the way that they keep looking at the press. And everything, the detail, I was just like.
No, the story is told the way they. The story's not nice. It's not a nice story. It's not a nice story. Ryan hates the story. It really is. It's not a nice story. When you get to the end of the film, you really feel. You can't even feel troubled, actually. So the story's not nice, but the way they told the story was brilliant. It really was. So if you're like, okay, I don't know what the story is. In a nutshell, it's based on a true story where a woman's son goes missing. So Christine Collins' son goes missing. And then the police find him. And when they bring this boy to her, it's not her son. And she says to them, this isn't my son. And the police, they were very corrupt. And there was a whole lot of going on within the LAPD. So they like, no, it is your son. He's just gone through a lot because he was found like 5 months later. So, and then they kept pushing her. And she then was like, this isn't my son. And she started hacking away at the police. And the police didn't like that because they were corrupt. And, you know, there was a whole lot of stuff going on inside. So they didn't want the media on them, etc., etc. And the story is basically of how she attacks the police or gets the police to a point where people realize this is the corruption going on. But spoiler alert, in the end, her son isn't found. He's not found. In the movie, they ended off on a note of there's hope that he is still alive. But in real life, because it is a true life story, the boy was killed. There's evidence that the boy was killed. So that's the story.
So in real life, they actually found the boy's body?
Well, in real life, so what happened was, at the time, there was a really, really sick guy that was murdering children. So literally, he'd kidnap children. He would then put them in a chicken coop and then axe them to death.
Is there any background on that guy? Like, is there a reason why he did it? Did that guy, like, have, like, some bad childhood experience?
I don't know. I mean, they don't give you background.
How do you do that?
So in the film, he kills and he gets his nephew to help him. So he forces his young nephew to help him. And one of the things he says is, they'll pick up children, and what they would say was, your parents have been in a really bad accident. I'm here to pick you up to take you to the hospital. But a child wouldn't just get in the car with a stranger. But because there was a boy in the car, another child, they would then go, okay, well, if there's another child, then I'm safe. So he'd use his nephew as a way to get the kids in. And then he even got the nephew to commit murder. The boy was filled with fear because he was threatening he'd kill him if he didn't do it. So he was doing that with the boy. Now in the film, how it came out, how this whole thing came out was that boy was arrested for immigration. So he was illegally in America. And then he went forward to the police and said, this is actually what's going on down there. And there's been these murders. But what actually happened was, the sister, who is shown in the film at one point, so the guy's sister goes and visits him and figures out this is what's going down. She then goes back to Canada, where she tells the police in Canada, and they inform the LAPD. And then what the LAPD did was, in order to get them, they did play on the immigration thing, and that's how they ended up getting the nephew, and then he obviously admitted, and that's how they took him down. However, do you know that, so Northcott was his name, his mother was also involved in murders. So in the film, they didn't bring in the mother as a character, but in real life, the mother actually admitted to killing Walter Collins, who's the boy that went missing, and then she later on apparently retracted that statement, but because she confessed, they put that murder on her. So I suppose if your mother's willing to do it, there's kind of no hope for you.
Wow. Sorry, I'm just clicking here. So maybe he did it because his mom was doing, but why was his mom?
I don't know. You just get,
this is so whack.
It is that.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But onto the movie side of things. So the budget for the film was $55 million. Guess how much they made box office? $113.4 million. So they did well. They doubled.
They did do well.
They did very well, which is pretty cool. It was a good film though, from a movie making perspective.
One of my favorite characters acted in this movie, John Malkovich.
Yes.
There's something I enjoy about his acting, and it's not that he's a good versatile character, blah blah blah, etc. I just love the way that his appearance on screen, and it was such. He's got this very strict, straightforward, not playing. I don't know. Even like his accent and the way.
Yes, he's got a distinct voice. Yeah.
I enjoy his acting. Whenever he's on screen, I'm like, it's that guy. Mm. And I've even watched interviews with him as well, and he seems to be that kind of character. he seems to have just that like very serious type of character.
Straightforward.
I think I'd like to have him as an uncle.
What I liked about his character in the film is he's a reverend that actually knows about all the corruption that's going on in the LAPD, and he makes it his mission to uncover all of this.
Expose it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's very instrumental in helping Christine Collins bring the what's happened to light and all of that. So, and I liked it because normally the reverend or the pastor is painted in a bad light in films, where in this film he was actually like the hero character, because without him, like even when they send, so they even, the police sent her to a psychiatric ward because she was getting too close to the truth and all of that. When he came in and got her out of there, I was like, yes, this guy is gangster. I like this guy.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. So Clint Eastwood directed the film. Do you know that he agreed to direct the film the same afternoon he read the script? So he read the script.
So he read it and he said, cool.
He was like, I'm doing it.
Oh, Dan, let's do it.
Now, this is interesting. So the screenwriter is J. Michael Straczynski. I think that's how you pronounce his surname. He first learned of the story of Christine Collins from an unnamed source at Los Angeles City Hall. The source had stumbled upon some case files regarding the Winville chicken coop murders, which was where all those boys were murdered. And found a whole lot of documents scheduled for destruction. He then took the files and became obsessed with the case, doing extensive research over the course of a year. He tried to make it into a television project, but never found a solid way to do it. Virtually every event depicted in this movie appears as cited in legal documents, with dialogue often taken from court transcripts, and he wrote his first draft of the screenplay in only 11 days.
Oh, wow.
You don't understand. That's not, you don't write your first draft in 11 days. Like, that doesn't happen.
Oh, because of all the conversations and
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. And it's a 2 hour and how? It was what? 22 minutes. So it's close to 2.5 hours, which is a lot of screen time, which means a lot of writing. And with all the research, so this really for him was like a passion project. He really, and you know how much was cut from the film? There was an additional 50 minutes, I think.
What?
50 minutes that was cut from the film. Yeah, in the final cut, which is crazy.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
And then talking about the name, so obviously it's Changeling, which is a very odd name. This is where it comes from. So it's a European folk legend where supposedly fairies, elves, trolls, or even the devil would occasionally steal young children from their cradles and leave a false child, which was called a changeling, in its place. The changeling would grow sick and die or exhibit bad behavior as it grew up, while the real child would supposedly become the slave of those who took it. So that's where the name came from. It came from that folk legend.
Oh. Yeah.
Obviously, in this film, her boy was taken and then replaced with another boy. Yes. And then, do you know Reese Witherspoon was one of the people that wanted to be Christine Collins, which is the mother? But Clint Eastwood cast Angelina Jolie at the suggestion of producer Ron Howard, who noted that Jolie's look would be the best fit for the time period. And her, she did. She fit the time period so well, like to a T. It really was good. And then also Clint Eastwood said that he cast Jolie because she is a mother and she knows what it would feel like if one of her kids were kidnapped. So he wanted, which she did bring across, that emotion she she really did bring it across, which was brilliant. She did a, yeah. Ron Howard wanted to direct the film, but due to scheduling conflicts, he decided rather to just serve as producer and then obviously got Clint Eastwood involved in making the film.
As the director.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool. Just to mention, so some items that isn't mentioned in the film, the boy that actually played, or the boy that pretended to be Walter Collins.
Yes.
So the reason in the film, what they do is they say that they almost give you the impression that the LAPD forced him to do it. So they like sat him down, said, you need to be Walter Collins. This, yeah, yes. Like what happened. So what actually happened in real life was that boy ran away from his stepmother. And then while he was on the road, someone found him and said, you look like this missing Walter Collins. And after being found by the police, he then decided to play along, claiming to be the missing Walter in hope that he wouldn't have to go back home. So that's the reason why he claimed to be Walter Collins, because he didn't want to go back home.
How do you find yourself in the midst of something like that, Dan?
I know, right? Like, it really is a crazy story. And then also one thing that's also very interesting is that in the film, Christine Collins phones the police on the day the night that he goes missing. They obviously then tell her you can only report a missing person after 24 hours.
I saw that coming.
Yes, which is actually terrible when like someone's in that state. But apparently what happened was she actually didn't report it until I think 4 days after he went missing. And the reason was because, so in the film, her husband is referred to, and that she says to Walter Collins that the reason why her husband left was because he was running away from responsibility. But actually what happened was he was actually in prison. He was serving time in prison. So she initially thought that the husband had kidnapped the child. So she thought it was the husband. And then eventually realized it wasn't, and that's when she called the police.
That's what I thought. I was like, I bet you it's the father. It's the father. And I mean, especially with this movie, they would not, you know, the whole movie, obviously, like we've said, we've got different sort of stories and scenarios that come together that all add on to the main story. And whenever they introduced a new story, you know, a new part into the story. So, for example, you would see the main character. What is her name?
Christine Collins.
Christine, right?
Yeah.
So it would have, you know, whatever, the scene would end with her. And then next minute, there's a new character on scene. They're in a unknown place.
Completely different place, yeah.
And you're like, wait, what's going on here? You know?
Yeah.
And that happened various times because, like I said, you've got different things that have happened in this movie. You've got the whole thing of the LAPD and the corruption in there. I mean, that sounds like a movie on its own.
Right.
The corruption of the LAPD.
LAPD. You
know? Yeah. And that was just like one of the things there. Then there's the missing boy, you know, and then there's the officer who found, you know, that stumbled a car, you know. It's like all these different things that have all come together, and it's like, wait, how does this add on? I mean, especially the boy that was found. I'm like, who is he? And the movie just moves on. You're like, wait,
no,
who
but
is
they
he?
Did explain at the end.
Yeah.
They sort of, because they found his mom, and then she was all happy, and then he said that the police made me do it, and then she obviously quickly takes him up. So he put it on the LAPD, but the LAPD can't do that. You can't tell a woman this is your son when she knows it. A mother is the best person to know. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like when they did that, and then the fact that they literally kidnapped her without a warrant, put her in a psychiatric ward. What's the word where they electrocute them? But it's not electric. They don't call it electrocution. You know when they connect, it's to your brain.
Yeah, it's like some therapy.
Oh, yeah. I was just like
shock therapy.
Shock therapy. Yes, that was it. And but they were literally torturing. And the scary part was in the psychiatric ward was a whole lot of women who had gotten in the way of the police. The police didn't like them, and so what they did was they called it a code 12, and they would send these women to the psychiatric ward to because they're insane. And then, but actually it was this woman was being beaten up by her husband who was part of the police. And when she tried to do something about it, they sent off this
same
woman.
Thing, yeah.
It literally was always these women for the Code 12. All of these women had been put there because they'd gotten in the way of the police and then, which was crazy, yeah.
You see, that's what I was saying. This is like a movie on its own. Just that whole corruption thing with the LAPD. And especially when they're like, this is supposed to be the city of angels, you know?
Right. So it was, yeah. It ended off as well as it could, I suppose, for being a true life story. So justice does come. The head of police, he's kicked out. The main officer that was working with Christine Collins, he's kicked out. The mayor even, because the mayor was involved.
I think that's where the whole big corruption thing was, was the mayor.
Yes.
Obviously, he put in then people that he could trust, and Marawara, et cetera,
So they were obviously disbanded. The Northcott, who committed the murders of the boys, he was hung. He spent 2 years in prison and then he got the death penalty and was hung. Although in the movie, Christine Collins is there when he dies. That didn't happen in real life. She actually wasn't there the morning that he was hung. But now this was also quite interesting. So the fate of Stanford Clark. So he's the 13-year-old boy who was forced by his uncle Northcott to participate in the murders. So also in the film, you don't know what happens to him. So he obviously is sent to prison. He serves time in prison, but this is actually what happened. So after leading the police to the bodies at his uncle's farm, Clark was sentenced to 5 years at a prison. And after that, a sympathetic LA district attorney later had his sentence reduced to 23 months after the school reported that Clark showed promising job skills and a genuine desire to reform. Clark returned to Canada, where he served in the Canadian military during World War II and later worked as a mailman for 28 years. He married, adopted, and raised 2 children and served local community causes throughout his life. And then he died in 1991. So he at least, he turned his life around.
Well, now there you go.
And he was shame. He was filled with so much remorse. I felt so bad for him. He literally, he couldn't. He had to come clean. Like, he had to come clean. And he served his time. It's not like he didn't. He served his time and.
There was a fair justice. And
which,
so forth. I guess, look, you can say that, well, now there's something good that happened out of it.
Right. Yeah. So this film, it's a brilliant film. From a filmmaking perspective, it's a very good film. The storyline is not a nice storyline. So if you don't like nice storyline, if you like nice storylines, I would not suggest you watch this film. If you'd like to give it a go, give it a go. But just know it's not a feel-good movie.
It can be quite disturbing.
It can be quite disturbing, actually.
This is a movie me and my family will not be watching together.
If my family wants to, although I don't even know if I want to watch it again personally, because it's so traumatic. It's actually like they really pull on your emotions, which is good.
Yeah.
Because as a movie, your audience should be emotionally invested in the film. And you are very invested in this film. Like, you go through a range of emotions from anger to tears to freaking out to everything.
There's no closure in this movie. And I think that's the thing that is disturbing about it.
It's a tragic story. That's what it is. It's a tragic story. And because it's based on it, if it wasn't based on a true life story, they could have at the end had Walter. So at the end, one of the other, so there were obviously a lot of boys that were taken. And at the end, one of the boys is found alive and he's then interviewed by the police officer and then reunited with his parents, and he obviously explains what went down, which I don't think is 100% accurate to what actually happened, but I think the reason they brought it in was to make sure the movie did end off on like just a little bit of a hopeful note, because that movie ends with Christine Collins having hope for finding her son, which obviously in real life
never happened.
They do say at the end of the film that she never stopped looking for Walter, which is terrible, because
that is terrible.
You
see, that's the part that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And, just the way the movie ended, I was just like, I think I got up, was busy finishing. I'm just like, they're not gonna find the boy. It's fine. Let me give you a break.
Yeah.
Because it was exactly at that point that there's always hope. And I'm like, twack, there's no hope.
At least you'll see him in heaven. There is hope.
Well, that was the other thing I thought about. I was just like...
Which the Reverend did bring up. Obviously, she was still...
That's true.
Hopeful, yeah.
That is very true.
Yes.
Okay, I like that.
So there is hope.
I like that. Yes.
So she... Not in this world, but after this world. There is hope.
I hope she got saved.
Yes. I think she would have because she was close to the Reverend.
You see?
And, yeah. So, one day when she died, she was reunited with Walter. So, it did have a happy ending.
Yes.
There we go, right. Just for you. They should have just added that ending scene of her going to heaven. Well, right?
They finished with the wording at the end about the whole thing that obviously the corruption in the police station that had gone sorted and... She had continued to look for her boy.
You didn't know anything about this film going in, hey?
No.
See, I did.
I didn't even...
Shame. So you really were like, ugh. Yes. I knew. I was like, she's not going to find her son.
Is it?
She, yeah. Sorry, right? Next time I'll emotionally prepare you.
No. This is what I like about movies because this is when it really, really grips you.
Yeah.
So I rented this off Google Play Movies. And obviously, just there's a short synopsis. Yes, that's the correct word, right?
Mm-hmm.
After Christine's only son goes missing, I was like, stop. Okay, just rent,
and then you watch it.
Let's watch, yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to know. I prefer it that way. It really, really takes you. Like I said, you can imagine when that cop first came up and like, well, he's alive. I was like, yes.
Yeah, I was like, he's not. Yes. You're lying, sis.
This is so good. I looked at my wife. I'm like, you should watch this. She's like, no, the boy goes missing. I'm like, yeah, but you should watch this. And then I watched the movie and I was like, no.
Don't watch it. Don't do it.
Not a good idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Reactive. Being reactive is being a people of reaction, people of change, being a movement of young people. It's not just a band, it's not just good music or inspiring words, it's not just catchy, it's life-changing.
Check us out on Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
So this has brought us to the end of our movie show, and there is still hope for you because you can go to social media. And while we are not with you anymore for the rest of this week, we will be back next week. But you can check us out on social media and comfort yourself there. Right, Ryan?
Absolutely.
We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Parler, Gab, and Reddit. Plus, we have an amazing website, www.activefm.co.za.
And of course, if you are a Spotify subscriber, we are on Spotify as well. Just search for us there, hit the subscribe so that you can subscribe to our podcasts, as well as all the other wonderful shows that Active FM has. Yes, I know we are not the only show on Active FM. And so it goes the same for YouTube as well. You go look for, there are two channels we are on, not just one, because we are too much. So go look on Active FM, go search for the Active FM movie show, and go search for Active TV. And while you're there at Active TV, do me a favor, go hit subscribe as well and hit the bell button because life is so hectic
right. That
you want to be reminded whenever new shows come out. And like I said, we are not the only show. There are tons there. Go, and then after you've subscribed and hit the bell button, go then to the playlist. You want to go to the playlist because I'm not going to tell you why. You want to go have a look there? Yes, go have a look.
Yeah. So this has been the movie show
on Active FM.
We are saying goodbye now.
Signing out.
Peace out.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.